It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, it's Tyrus and the Wise Men. Special guest today, Kyle Davis, the voice of NWA. Well, the interview voice. Let's not take anything away from Joe. But welcome, Kyle.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Don't be so sure.
We're part of the cool kids.
Yeah. Well, it's a little premature.
Have you ever been to a lunch table in like high school with the cool kids where everyone just talks the whole time and nobody says anything because it's 18 voices going, welcome to the wise men, buddy.
Yeah.
I was a tweener in high school. I was the fat kid that everybody liked because I had a sense of humor and then I grew into myself. So, I mean, like old times.
Were you homeschooled?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't homeschooled, but I don't have much of an education.
Jesus.
No, I just that sounded like a kid who was homeschooled because those are all the traits that
my mom
would look for to pick
favorite.
On somebody at school. Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, how's your house, dude? How's everything with the hurricane and everything?
Hurricane was good. The rental property had some damage to it, but the our house itself, or I should say the house that was my house. Because I'm going through a separation, so fun times.
Oh, this is going to be a great show. So first of all, I was going to go at him like, did that fool really just say, "Oh, you mean my rental property?" As if he was trying to like let everyone know he owns multiple properties, which is kind of arrogant. But then he brought us back with he's going to lose it all. So
yeah.
I mean, it was never mine to begin with; it was hers. So you know,
right.
His life.
Yeah, you were arm candy. So,
Well,
I guess, you know what, fellas, why don't we do this? Shall we do this? Should we talk about relationships and being on the road? Should we do that and see if we can help?
Yeah, sure.
Real fast, Iris yesterday, drop dead performance in Knoxville. I was so happy for him. So happy, proud, watching him kill it, slaying jokes. You know, the low hanging fruit jokes he had down to a pat, but it was really the inside cuts that not a lot of people got that I really laughed at, but absolutely awesome time. Tyrus, thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem, man. It was cool. You, Tim Storm, and Thrillbilly were there. And then, of course, Glenn Jacobs was he was there, so that was pretty cool, a.k.a. Kane. The Mr. Mayor now. That was pretty cool. And seeing him laugh and stuff was on point. And then it was crazy because I do – after the shows, I always do – meet and greets, and that's just the wrestler in me, right? Because fans get to see you after the show and take a picture with you or an autograph or whatever. They want to come back again, you know? So a lot of people in entertainment, and I know Luke can attest to this, like when you're on a set and with the extras and stuff and they see you and they recognize you from stuff and they ask to take a picture, the average wrestler is like, yeah, cool, no problem, I got you. What's your name? How are you? Oh, thanks for watching. You know, because we always think we want people to come back to see us again because that's how our business works. Well, a lot of entertainers aren't like that.
No, not at all.
They're almost insulted. Go ahead.
It's funny you bring that up. I was going to say, now it's crazy. Even all the biggest artists in the world, you can buy VIP packages to take a picture with them after the show, which is genius. But you only go up there. I mean, they're literally up there probably 20 seconds. They rush them through the line. But like, who pays $2,000 or $3,000 just to go take a quick picture with someone like Def Leppard or somebody? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, but to them though, that's like their whole life. Like they have been waiting for this moment to meet this one individual, and oh my God, is it worth $3,000? Yeah, I get a picture for the rest of my life with this.
I'd
person.
Pay $3,000 to meet my father.
You went dark.
Damn.
You went dark.
Wow.
Kyle's
in a bad spot. You know what, Kyle? Hey, take it from somebody who met his biological father one time. Save your money.
I've met him. He's just dead. So that's my whole thing. $3,000 to bring the dead back. Yeah, let's get dark.
Come back.
Hey, EC3, can you get him a crystal to where he can do a seance? Can we get him a seance or something?
Chakra.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, Kyle. Thanks for coming on, Kyle. Appreciate you.
All right, guys, be safe. Have a great night. Bam!
We didn't think he could top Sherry, but he did right out from the gate, didn't he?
Yeah, well, no, she got personal. She brought us all being fired. So, but it's to Luke's point, I'm not paying. I'm not paying $3,000 to see anybody. And that was long before. I mean, but I never was. It's weird because
you're telling me if you weren't in the wrestling business and you had a chance to meet Dusty Rhodes.
No.
One time, one moment. This is your moment. You get a chance to spend 30 seconds with the man. Put your arm around him. Ask him, hey, how was that match in 78? I wouldn't pay $3,000 for it.
No, not even a little bit. Not even once. And I'll tell you what, man, not because I'm on some high platform. I think a lot of it has to do with just growing up a certain way. Especially growing up in California. You, in the Hollywood area, you see a lot of celebrities and stuff, and you just kind of get kind of numb to it. And then it just never appealed to me. Like I would want to go to a basketball game to see my favorite basketball player. But if there was a line to meet him, I didn't want to meet him that way. I always had it in my head. Like I wanted to meet him like if, cause they wanted to meet me. And I think that sometimes has a lot to do with just the way that I was, way I grew up like this. When you pay to meet somebody or you extend yourself to meet somebody, you're vulnerable, you know? I paid $3,000 just, and it, here, and this is, and it, maybe it was insecurity, but you pay three, or let's just dub it down. Even if you pay, if you're a kid and you pay $10 to meet Big John Studd, right? You stand in line and you get up there and you're like, and all you want to ask him is like, why he picked stars to put on the side of his tights. And you get up there and he's like, hey kid, turn, look at the picture, kid. Take the picture, kid. Thanks, kid. And then they move you along. That's a heartbreaking moment.
Yeah. No, I see that.
You know what I'm saying? And now you're in the whole, everything he was, and I'm not saying, I just use John Studd as an example.
Right.
Big John Studd, rest his soul. It was a very kind man, and he would have done more than that because he was a wrestler, and that's what we do. But the point is that the fear of that was way bigger than wanting to meet somebody. Plus, they don't want to meet me. So it's kind of like a thing where I was like, well, I don't want to meet you either. Because I did, the first time I met Dusty, it wasn't good. I hated him after I met him.
Explain that.
Okay,
explain
so that. I was in Deep South for about a month. And by this time, I had mastered getting through the ring. And I could walk through the ropes good without tripping. Like, that's the level where I was at, and I was working on lockups and clotheslines. And MVP was getting ready to go up, and they were trying to decide what he was going to wear, right? Because they loved the most valuable player, all the Terrell Owens heat and stuff that was going on at the time.
Right.
Like MVP was hot, and he was money on the mic, and well, he's MVP, yep. You know what I'm saying? So yep. Dusty was overseeing his development. So Bill DeMont, who knew how much I admired the American Dream, tells me to stay after practice because the American Dream's coming to meet with MVP and go over some ideas for his gear, for his gimmick. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I told him about you, and he said he'd love to meet you. And I was like, what? Oh man! Wow! I'm gonna meet the mayor. So I'm in the back sweating. I'm nervous. I'm like, do I say Mr. Dream? Do I say Mr. Rhodes? Like, hi. That's a stupid name. I don't know what I'm saying. Like, I'm really excited to meet him. And I was gonna tell him about, you know, as a kid, man, I used to emulate you and watch you and all that kind of stuff. And comes in the office. He's got his Texas hat on, his flannel, his glasses. And Bill goes, "Hey, Rilla, come here." And I come through the door, and I'm sitting there, and I stick my hand out, and I was like, "Mr. Rhodes, hi. My name is George." And before I could find out, he was like, "Hey, baby, I only meet stars. Are you a star?" And I went, "Huh? No.
Yeah.
No." And he's like, "Well, then, what are you doing in here?" And he was basically he was throwing at me, but I was all in my feelings because I wanted to, and I basically just said, "Well, nice to meet you." And I was like, kind of like, oh, that's my time. All right. I turned around and walked out. Right. And I was like, man, Dusty Rhodes. I hate him. Like, now all his moves are stupid. Nobody has a bionic elbow. Nobody. He ain't the bionic man. He stole it. Like, I was heated. Like, walking out with like a, I don't want to ever wrestle again. Like, you know, I was mad. And after that, like, we'd be in the group. And they'd be like, hey, Dusty's coming to town. Like, I don't care. I always like Sergeant Slaughter anyway. Like, I was just just heated, you know? So, but then
won him over, though.
Well, no. What happened was I met him again at when I was in we moved to FCW, and it was hot as hell. And Hutter will attest to this. And that building was death. It was, we had three rings, no AC, and ooh. it was a factory. It was a can factory. It was a pit of despair.
The inside was painted black.
So it was
trapping the heat.
Brilliant move that was. And we would have to change the mats at least twice a practice from so much sweat. There would be puddles of sweat, like water had rained in the ring, because that's how hard we were working. One time, Mike Rotundo was there as an agent, and we were doing sunset flip drills. And when the water splashed, when I did it, he said, "Fellas, that's enough. Thank you. You guys, someone's going to get killed. Like, that's enough." And I was sitting, I had just finished doing drills, and I was sitting by we had this big giant fan. And I was sitting there with me, Kofi, and a couple other guys. And he comes walking in, and everyone's like, "Oh, it's the Dream." And I just kind of like, "Yeah, it's the Dream, whatever." And he sits down, and he was like, "You going to move your big ass from that fan?" And I was like, "You could have moved your big ass over there." And he just, everyone was like, "Oh!" And he started laughing. And he's like, "See, I knew I liked you." And I was like me? You told me you only meet stars. He's like, "Well, aren't you a star?" "Yeah, I'm a star." "Well, then what's the damn problem?" I was like, "Motherfucker." So, and he says, "Good. Now move your fat ass out the way of the fan." Like, nobody wants cold Jew all over him. So, and after that, like, it kind of became a thing where we would just throw shots at each other all the time. And then next thing I know, he couldn't get me off his hip. But you get sensitive. You know what I'm saying? We all get, and that's why I've always been that way. Like, I've been in a room with more celebrities probably than I can remember, and I've never taken a picture with them. Like, it's never been something I've wanted to do. It's not this, I'm higher than that, and I don't think anyone who wants to have a positive memory is weak or stupid or something like that. It's just something in me asking for that picture just bothers me, and so I just don't do it. And there's like one picture of me and Snoop together, maybe like five. And I worked for him for 5 years and traveled all over the world with him. And I look back now and I go, wow, man, I missed out. Because I could have had in my office photos of all the places I've been and people I've met and worked with and stuff. And I don't have any of it. Even us. I'm never like, "Hey, fellas, let's get a photo together. Remember this night." I just don't do it because I just don't put a lot of value in photos. But again, I didn't really grow up where we had photo albums and stuff like that. So I just don't do it as a rule. So I'm not judging anybody who does it. I don't know if anyone else kind of feels the same way.
The only time that it bothered me was when you got let go from the company.
Right.
And you're like, "Man, I'm at home. All your friends are out working. The business continues to roll." And I'm like, "Damn, I wish I'd have took pictures." Much like you said, with Randy here or Lance here, or you know what I mean?
Right.
I try to take snapshots every once in a while now in the NWA locker room with some of the boys just so I can – have those personal memories, like, "Yeah, I remember that time." But I understand what you're saying about not being, you know, back in the day, guys, wasn't it like, "Don't be a mark. Don't take a picture with the boys." You know what I mean? And
well, you had to protect it, but Luke, do you take, you don't take a lot of pictures, do you?
I try to. I mean, I don't take a lot, but I always, you know why I always do it at, and it's habit, is the gym. Every time I'm in the gym.
Yeah, we see you, Jack, son of a We see all.
Yeah, that's another reason. That's bragging.
Pulling that shirt up.
Yeah, look at my 12 abs, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of gym, I wanted to talk about EC3. My boy EC3 had Jamie Stanley doing some real bandit squats, man. He was working that band out. Huge.
Don't give me anything to do with him. He's a fraud. He tries to come to the dump. He tries to be this, like, it's just enough. He's so vain. And he'll never figure it out. His vanity is going to get ahead of his ability to perform as a professional wrestler, which I've told him. And he will see what I do and he'll add like 5 pounds and do it. But also, dude, I've been wrestling thousands of more matches for a lot longer and done far more. So you can have the squat today. If we were going to go nuts to butts, death to us all. I would destroy you.
I can attest to EC3's numbers are on Hard Knock South forever.
Yeah.
I watched this man put a small village on his back and squat him and then hop up on the table and take an American photo that still lives on the wall in Hard Knock South. So, yeah, EC3 doesn't have to take a backseat to anyone. Anyone who puts 5 pounds, I'm guilty of this because I did it to Ryback. You're just being a dick.
Well, I mean, we all know Trevor's a body guy. So my question is for everybody here.
Whoa.
No, Trevor looks looks amazing, but this is why I'm bringing this up. Trevor is form over function sometimes. He's a freaking, looks amazing. He can go in the ring. He can do everything. You got EC3, though, who's got like 0.3% body fat. And I'm always intrigued by this because, Luke, you were a smaller guy when you came up. Now you're one of the most jacked individuals I know. Aaron, you look good no matter what the hell you're doing. Everybody's got their own body type. Everybody's got their own thing.
You just told Aaron Kevin, he looks good? Oh, no.
Well, whatever. I'm telling you,
okay, the sky is blue and the ocean is wet.
But here's the question. Here's the question. Is it an emotional aspect that made you want to start getting into that shape? Did you want to be strong? Did you want to look good? Was it a combination? Like, everybody's got their own factors and motivations for why we do what we do and why we look how we look. I'm just curious what the take is for everybody here.
I want to look good.
I think the biggest transformation for me was me and Trevor started challenging each other. We started every day, accountability. Did you hit the gym? Did you eat right? And you send a picture. So I got a photo album of me and Trevor. But nobody want to see them pictures because they're usually right after a workout where you're just like proof of sweat. It's like proof of life. I need to see a newspaper with a date on it that your ass was in the gym. So... And it just kind of became a habit for me. I mean, I've always lifted and stuff, but then you get caught up in life on the road and eating. You're eating when you're free opposed to eating when you need to eat. And you could literally bust your ass and burn 1,000 calories in the gym and throw it all to hell with 3 pieces of pizza and a beer at 11 o'clock at night. You know, and
good having that buddy accountability, though. It drives you. It makes you better than who you could be just alone. We all need a little backup every now and then.
We'll be back with much more after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
For me, it made me feel good that I had somebody who gave a f- because before... You know, honestly, guys, no one, you know, I'm an old school wrestler. No one really gave a shit as long as I could perform in the ring. But it made me feel good that Tyrus was like, yo, man, like, you got to step up our game. We got to, you know, go to the next level. And having somebody who actually gave a cared about what I was doing really helped motivate me to get in better shape. Not to mention, none of us are spring chickens in this conversation. We're all starting to get older. And I got children, and I would like to meet my grandchildren. I'd like to play with maybe my grandchildren one day. And a part of that all comes down to I got to get my health right.
Yeah, and to be fair, Trevor, before I called you, I was scrolling through Instagram, and I saw Luke, and I went, oh, we got to step this up.
That guy in his place.
That guy is
– No, it's a positive motivation.
It is positive. No, like you look, you know, it's just one of those – you know, A-Rai and
– Yes, sir.
You were a monster in the gym, absolute monster. Mm-hmm. Still are, if you so choose to be.
Yeah.
And you were competing with the top guy in the business. You were training with Cena, and your college career and at Hard Knock South, your snatch and cleans were phenomenal. And you know, I don't use that term loosely.
Right.
When you stopped wrestling and you went through what is only can be described as a deep depression.
Okay.
Did getting back in the gym change things for you? Because for a time, you kind of got away from it.
What I dealt with was like an obsessive mentality to be in the gym, right? And I was dealing with that my whole life to the point where, to be honest, I was on a scale 5, 6, 7 times a day, right? Like an obsession. And I was telling the story on a couple episodes back that if I was 234 at night, I wasn't going to go to bed until I was 240 on the scale. And I was stuffing my face with protein shakes, food, gallons of water. And I would say, okay, I've looked at the scale. It's 12 o'clock at night and I'm going to bed and I'm 240. Now I would wake up and I would be 232 again or 234, right? So when I left wrestling, I really tried for a long time to detach from that. You know what I mean? I really wanted to, like, you know, and EC3 said something very smart about vanity, right? I mean, I was to the point where I was always looking in the mirror. And when I was trying to grow, like, as a person, and, you know, and I did get depressed for a while and wonder why that happened, right? And I looked back and I said, well, this was really the only thing I was doing day in and day out in the gym twice a day, always on the, you know, 2.5 hours. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a way of life and a habit, and I think it's beautiful. But for me, I had been doing it since I was about 12 or 13. My dad got me into weights really early. And then I woke up and I was 36. That's a long time.
Yeah. So it wasn't fun anymore for you.
Well, it was a long time to be obsessing over the way I looked.
Right.
Right. So what happened was, for me, in order to kind of grow, I got rid of the scales. I remember kind of putting something on the mirror to remind me, okay, stop looking in the mirror. You look the same as you did this morning, or you look the same as you did yesterday. And I think it was a positive thing, you know, and I'm looking now to work back into it and find a structure where I want it to become an obsession, but not so much. You know what I mean? And, right. And I think that was kind of part of the spiritual growth process, which, yeah. You're absolutely. Yeah.
Not to cut you off, but speaking of obsession, Aaron, you're always up and down. And I think even to, because people always think of women that have, like, body issues, right? Because guys don't talk about it.
You can't. I was going to bring up body dysmorphia.
Right. Yeah. And Aaron, you've probably been the most paranoid over your looks more than anyone I've ever known.
Yeah,
but you always look pretty much the same. Like, you're always you're never in terrible shape. There, a pandemic doesn't count, okay? Because everybody,
that one was bad. Like, just call that for what it is. That one was bad, and that's I have no excuse for that other than my own, you know, laziness and the pandemic, because no gyms were open in California where I don't live anymore.
and you couldn't connect with people, man. And that was a bad space and time, you know, I think for a lot of people.
Yeah. But to Tyrus's point, you're just saying about how you're
a lot healthier mentally now than you were when we were last together on the road, 5 years ago or whatever it was. You know, Kevin took a hard look and took a step back and reset. Did you do the same thing, or did you? How did you?
No, it was. Go ahead.
No, I was saying. Sorry, how did you find your balance? Because I feel like we're everyone in this meeting. Although Kyle just got here and he's getting left and shit, so he's got, you know, he's not going to be there for a while. But most of us have all kind of gotten to a place of where we're all kind of pretty much real with ourselves and our feelings. Tell you like it is. Ask Luke; he'll tell you.
No.
And you're kind of. I feel like you're a lot better than you used to be, because you don't aggravate me as much as you used.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you, and I think, you know, that's. And I'm sorry about that. I'll work on that. You know, I know how the expectations would have for me. So I'll step my game up in Tampa in a couple of days, I promise. But no, like, to me, it was when I had left the road, because, like, my whole life, I have always kind of had this propensity to go completely all in, full extreme, and. You can only hold the amount of focus like that. Yes, for so long, to me anyways, because to me, it's like, it's such an intense process. Like, when Rip was training us in OVW, like, you know, and I think the reason, like, I can put a match together as easy as I can is because of, like, I did it for, like, about 2 years. That's all I studied. That is all I studied. And just kind of like that. So now we equate that to my eating habits, to where, okay, I need to get bigger. So then eat Waffle House. You know, and you were there, right? Like, I'd always get the chocolate chip waffle after and everything. And it kind of didn't matter. But you know what? If I wanted to change my body and get to the next level, because here's the reality. I don't know if, and you know, we can speculate. And you were with me too, you know, Tyrus, the whole time, like, about when I was supposed to get the title and then, you know, all that went down. I don't know. And I'll admit this. If they sat in the room and said, you know what, we need Sandow to look a little better. He doesn't look like a champion. And the fact is, yes, I look good enough, but I did not look my best. Could I have dieted harder? Absolutely. Could I had trained harder? Absolutely. Could I have been more meticulous about how I chose to express myself, you know, and politically? And absolutely. Then again, you're a bad influence, but or a good one. But either way,
oh,
right?
You blaming like, me? Okay.
No, I'm not.
No, you know what? But you know what? you can to a certain extent. Although, I believe several times I said, "Do we really need this chocolate chip waffle?" I got my own problems, and I got to watch you sit here and moan and groan over this damn waffle. And then you know.
Oh no, you were always on my side with food. You were always on my side.
I didn't get it because as a guy who like
in the office,
like as a guy who was built like a barrel, I never got it that you know you were like, oh, I'm heavy. Kevin would say I'm heavy, and I'd be like, shut the f- up. Well, you have abs.
It was a self sabotaging.
Yeah, you know.
I think now it was self sabotaging, right? I'm not on the board of Hard Knocks South, but I never tried to be. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. I never tried to be, and that's. And I don't want to say like about regrets or anything, but you know, going forward, I am not going to be making those same mistakes again. Like right now, and it's funny, even that bench press competition that we had a couple weeks ago. You know, I'm up here. I'm actually getting my shoulder straightened out, and like right now, I'm changing the way I'm training because I want to see how strong I can get in a healthy way.
Because
and it all comes, I think, you know.
No, I was just going to say because the old Aaron would never have done that. I was counting on you to be the old Aaron. He wouldn't have done it. Even though he could have done it, you just liked everyone to think that you wouldn't do it. You were more comfortable being that guy. And
he's mature. He's grown.
He's got wisdom.
Mentally, wisdom. He's a wise man.
No, and you know what? A lot of it came from like honestly being around you guys. And I don't want to say Santino because we know how
he'll never let you live it down.
Santino, a lot of weight, but like you and Trevor. When we first got to NWA and now all of you guys, like how you've really kind of helped me get okay with that. Cause I didn't know how to be anything else but a wrestler. And like, we all have our story, but like I was groomed to do this since I was 16, like in high school by Killer Kowalski. Like it was just, I never ever experienced life outside of it. And then, you know, when things don't go your way, like we have to learn how to deal with problems. That's why Luke
is a prime example of
you
that.
A gypsy.
Because let me ask Luke a question. Luke, you probably have the most frustrating career because pound for pound, you're the best wrestler on this show and probably in every company you've been in. I'm telling you that he can do it all. Like he can, yep. If you got a lucha match, Luke got you. You want to ground and pound, Luke got you.
He wasn't always like that.
No, it was. I mean, but when you got to the point to where you were being asked to wrestle a guy and you end up what TJ Wilson, who you remind me a lot of, would say, I gotta babysit this motherfucker I have to get this guy over so he can get a job. You know,
well,
and then
I
there's
that guy.
Yeah.
And that was a hard pill to swallow. I told you that. That was a hard pill to swallow because I was always dependable for that. And you know, and it was always
You're almost too good for your own good.
Yeah, it was, and that was the first time when I went down to FCW, They were trying to hire me as a coach in 2013. And they were just saying, hey, I think I told you all this. And they were like, you're more valuable to us building superstars than you are building a superstar. And I'm like, I hate that bullshit line. Like, you know, it's such a bullshit slap in the face compliment. So I'm like, what is that? 8 years ago.
Right.
No, 10 years ago. I'm sorry. I'm tripping.
Yeah, we're getting old.
So, yeah. I was 31. I wasn't ready to stop wrestling at 31 years old. You know, I'm not ready to stop wrestling at 41 years old.
No, Flair still wants to go when he's 127.
Yeah, I just like how this is a conversation that started about relationships, but it goes full circle to the relationship of ourselves, which is far more important than
it's far. You know what? Because I know how you feel, EC3, you know, about relationships.
Yeah, and I definitely want to chime in, especially with what Kylie said, but I'm going to let Hawks go ahead and keep kicking.
No, because...
Hey, I did just want to say rest in peace to Lanny Poffo. Y'all heard he passed away. I don't know if y'all heard that.
Oh, I did not know that. No, see that.
Yeah, he passed away today.
The genius. Wow.
Aaron, I always like Lanny.
Aaron and him had a very special relationship.
Actually, no, we did. We did. He, the character I did was... It was heavily influenced by him. He actually gave me his blessing to do it. And then when I was pretty much told I will be dressing up like the Macho Man, it didn't sit right with me. So I remember I made a call to him and I asked him, and I was actually nervous. And I will never forget this. He just goes, Aaron, he goes, I've gotten to know you over the last couple of years. You've done, and I say this like, I'm not trying to make my, this, these are his words, but.
You can put yourself over, Aaron. It's okay.
No, he said you've done more with my gimmick than I, you've done more with my gimmick than I ever could. And that was very, very touching to me. And then he goes, Randy would be honored to have you pay tribute to him. And I was like, wow. And to me, because I met Randy once when I was like 16 with Killer at a WCW Nitro. And it was just, you know, hey, how are you? Walter's going to take care of you, man. Don't worry about it. And pretty much that was it. And but Lanny gave me that blessing, and it made me, even though I didn't want to do it, it made me okay enough to be like, all right, I'm going to go all in with this. Because I wouldn't have felt right without his blessing. So,
super
yeah.
Nice.
So rest in peace, Lanny.
Yeah, he watched the Gutfeld show. He always sent me positive criticisms. I always liked that. Whenever we talked, he would always tell me he liked the style. He liked the way I was doing it. He said I represented the Brotherhood well. And then he would give me some really crazy conspiracy theories. But but that was who he was, and that
target
was,
demo.
Yes.
Target demo.
Yes. And you know, but it's one of those things where when a legend reaches out to you, you listen. You know, you might not be able to use all of it, but you're gonna use some of it. And so it's sad because the Poffo family gave so much to this business. Their father.
He was the last, right?
Yeah, he was the last.
Yeah.
There's no other children that are wrestling right now, right?
No. Nope.
I don't think Randy had any kids, huh?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge, no. I'm sure that, you know, but so that's the end of a great wrestling dynasty. And yeah. You know, and I think everyone here at one time or another said, oh yeah, or has smart off a smart ass poem trying to be clever, you know. So it's kind of,
or has done a cartwheel in front of
that was your thing. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit. You know, I want to get to EC3 and the relationship stuff, but Kyle, okay. So you obviously, when you got into the wrestling business, was your plan to be an announcer, or were you trying to be a worker?
No, I was a worker. I trained with the Ring of Honor Academy, trained by Brian Danielson, and I was just not that athletic. Oh. Brian Danielson, some dude, he wrestles somewhere else. It is what it is. But I mean, like, according, literally, he's going to go down
according
as, like,
to my
this
Wikipedia.
Guy
sorry, real fast. According to my Wikipedia, because of NXT season 4, I was trained by the American Dragon, Daniel Bryan.
According
to my Wikipedia.
We were trained by the same guy. Good to see one of us made something of themselves.
Yes, congratulations.
I was on you.
I never wanted to be a broadcaster. It's just one day, a guy named Adam Pierce, who was the NWA world champion at the time, funny story, he looked at me. He was helping produce the program for Ring of Honor, and he said, Kyle, don't take this the wrong way, but you're the shit in the ring. And it just devastated me. And he goes, hold on, you could talk. And everybody in this business wants to be a wrestler, and everybody is probably going to be a little bit better than you are, but you're a little bit better at talking than most. So I think that's your opportunity. Just don't take it as an insult. You got something other people don't have. Run with it. And so I ran with it, begrudgingly, and here I am talking to you guys.
Is it still begrudgingly? Yeah,
really? No, it's actually one of those funny things where you realize that everybody's kind of got their little something, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, looking in the mirror and liking who you see and everything like that, and you have to be realistic with yourself. I'm not 6'3". I'm not 250 pounds of muscle. I'm like 5'7.5" now because of spinal compression and getting older. I'm bald. I'm middle aged. I'm slightly overweight. I got
You're
a
alone.
Handsome face, and I got a voice, and I could use that. And I could use that and be something in an industry I always wanted to be a part of. I'm in the wrestling business because I had something that other people don't have. And instead of trying to be everybody else, I was myself, and now I'm here.
Do you know how much that helps the guy you're standing next to, though? I understand. Oh. You want to be 6'4", you want to be 290 pounds, you want to be the guy. But because of who you are, because of the way how you deliver your approach to wrestling and the way you look and how you handle yourself, you make us look good.
You just had the first ever live power on Tuesday night, and I just saw a clip of it the other day. I was on the podium on the stage next to Thrillbilly Silas Mason, and I remember sitting next to him, and I'm like, man, you know what? He's pretty big, but I think I could take him in real life. I look at the camera. I fit inside that man. So yeah. You talk about like not knowing what you really look like, and I brought up body dysmorphia. I wasn't trying to be all sensitive and stuff.
It's and
really
on that, no.
I hate myself and what I look like, so I always think, man, I must be awesome. Then I stand next to you guys, and I'm like, man,
but I tell
I am
you
a
what,
tiny,
hey,
weird looking man.
Well, I'm going to give you a compliment. I got a chance to spend some time with Mean Gene Okerlund, and I did a film called No One
Perfect
Lives.
Perfect example.
And it was at the Sarasota Film Festival, and I had a table with him, the lead singer from AC/DC, and Hemingway's daughter, the actress. I can't remember because I didn't give a shit. It was like the lead singer AC/DC was there.
And, didn't ask for a photo with her. We'll put it that way.
No. And but Mean Gene just talked to me forever. And his interview style is a lot the way that he was. So it was just, he was just having conversations with people. And I think it was a Monday Night Raw. I did an interview with Mean Gene Okerlund. And I don't even think I think it got cut, actually. I don't even think it saw the light of air. But it was like one of my favorite interviews because we got to do the whole thing. And he at the end, he was like, give me a break, you know, whatever. And it was phenomenal. And you remind me a lot of Mean Gene in your style. And one of the things that I love about you is even at the pay-per-view, you would come up to me and you would be like, hey, what I said, I'll see you out there. Just, you know, just ask me, just interview me, do your thing. And the first time I would tell you that, you kind of looked at me like, what are you, stupid? Like, no, we got to go over these notes. But then once we get out there, you're Kyle and you go right into where you're doing and you get where you're going. And it's always a blast because it's
trust.
It's trust, you know, and guys, and I trusted you from jump. I don't even think we knew each other. And I said, Kyle, just
no, not
just,
at all.
I just started Andre used to with Mean Gene, and you know, so I started with you. I put my hand on your head while you talked to me, you know, and
I
just
big ass hand, bud.
Yeah, just to see what you would do. And but you were a journalist, and you continue to be a journalist. You didn't play wrestler. You didn't take. You know, you didn't oversell it. You just got to your question, you know, and then at the same, and then you would adjust your suit and be like, "Sir, I'm trying to ask questions." That is just as great as a gimmick as any other guy in the ring. And of course, you did get in the ring and you did lay some pretty good stunners on Jordan and Jeezy, so you weren't the total s***. So I'd like to tell the NWA champ you might have been off there just a scotch. But you have what they in this business is like you have a forever job. You would have to do something really f***ing stupid to lose it. Because
well,
you're
good
not
thing
gonna
is I don't do dumb things
unless you get dementia or some medical injury that affects your ability to think and talk. Your body's not going to tire out standing in the ring asking questions, you know.
Yep.
And
the shorter I get, the bigger you guys look. So
the bigger
it's just
you get,
help.
Yeah. But eventually there'll be Thrillbillies in there, and there won't be Tyruses in there, and there won't be Trevors, and well, not EC3. Yep. He's in his prime, but you'll still be there. You'll be there until you don't want to be there anymore. That's now you don't want to get cocky with that kind of job security because
No. I don't think there is any job security. There's always going to be somebody that wants something maybe a little bit more than you. And all it's going to take is to be in the right person, the right time with me in the right situation that's not working where they're going to step in. That's how I got my job with NWA. As I was in the right place at the right time, I knew the right people. And when somebody else was no longer able to do the job, they threw me into the fire, and I didn't drown or burn or any other thing you want
to
do.
No, but now they're
analogy.
Not looking for someone to do that.
Right.
And other businesses are going, hey, if that guy comes available, he can really do an interview. You're the only in-ring interview guy in the business.
Well, I mean, yeah, because the other issue is now that everybody really wants, like, an attractive woman to be doing my job, which I get. I like looking
gross.
At an attractive woman.
Yeah.
I'm an ugly SOB. I'm this middle-aged dude that's just grossing up the screen. But
it's
hell,
not
maybe,
all about that, though. That's
no,
big,
but I can actually talk to you guys and have a conversation, which I think is the other thing with having the arm candy sometimes. It gets lost. At the end of the day, we're just people having a conversation. And, you know, whatever you think about professional wrestling, the more realistic it is, the more you believe. If I'm talking to you like a normal human being, we're having a connection, and that transfixes, goes through the camera. The people at home get to feel that, and it connects.
I tell you all the time. I tell you all the time, Kyle, how great of a job I think you do. Joe as well. Yep. I think you two just knock it out of the park, and I think it's great for us to have y'all both.
I appreciate that, but Joe, I still Joe think Blue, I'm the shits Fox and I hate myself, News, so thank on, you.
Saturday morning, Fox and Friends, he put them on their ass. When he did the play-by-play for the Fox News, it was their sumo wrestling match, and he called it like it was WrestleMania 3. They're like, who is that guy? Where did he come
Travis
from?
And I just sat back on the TV.
And I just said, go to work.
Thing. Yep.
Yeah, I pulled some chicanery to get that.
Oh, the greatest. I got to put Tyrus over for this. They wanted to start basically just on the one shot with Tyrus. And we're trying to promote the world title match in the NWA. Well, Joe's on one side and I'm on the other. And Tyrus is looking at the TV. He's like, hold on, man. Like, cameraman, like, all right, why just a little bit more? And the cameraman don't know what's going on. And the shot gets a little wider. And he's like, oh, wait, no, a little more. We got to get just a little more. And to the point where Joe and I are now fully in the shot. And he goes, all right, perfect. Let's go. Let's roll. Let's go. Let's go.
And so they had no choice.
They were like three, two, one, and we were in the shot. You know, and I was kind of like put my hand, just a little squeeze, like thank you, T, thank you. appreciate that, bro.
And Joe stole it. Yeah, he absolutely stole it. But
Joe's amazing.
Yeah, Joe's good. You're all good. Well, we got a good crew at the NWA across the board.
Yeah, and I tell you what, for that live power we just did, like to not have some of the people there. For it to go as smooth as it did, that doesn't go off like that, especially with a live show, unless everyone from the talent to the truck are on the same page.
Yep.
It's definitely one of those things where we all do our part and we all do our part well. And I just want to be thankful that I have a team that works with me like you guys do, and that we could all carry our weight and not only carry it, but lift it a little bit more than we need to at times.
Now,
while we had a broken ring.
Yep.
Yes.
Broken ring.
Now, Kyle.
Just about to say that, but I cut out. Broken ring. Yes.
Kyle, as you previously said in the beginning of this podcast, that you are going through a separation, or is it a permanent divorce? Is it?
Divorce never happened because COVID canceled the wedding.
Right.
But seems to be pretty permanent. I'm not in the house. I'm sleeping on a couch in Connecticut, and then I'm moving into an apartment with my buddy in Florida. 40 years old, ladies and gentlemen.
Starting over. Okay. Well, luckily, we have EC3 here with us today, who's kind of a relationship expert, and he could probably give you some really good advice on what dating's going to be like for you. EC3, if you would care to just enlighten him and kind of help a brother out a little bit, would really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't have abs that are visible, so please, whatever advice you give me, go off of that.
That is also probably a benefit because the people that seek just a vain man, I don't work out for ladies. I work out so dudes are jealous of me.
Right.
85% target demo. I'm gonna warn you, Kyle. You know, I had a few close calls, but never crossed that threshold. And now, as a lone individual, I live in a single room little shack. I love it on purpose. I call it the shack. It's a real nightmare out there. It's just a show. There's no depth to the humanity. There's no realistic connection. There's nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
Good luck. Like what I'm hearing. Good luck.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Kyle. It's all bad.
I was thinking Tinder. Should I try that's gonna go
bad? It's all bad.
Here's the thing, too. Kyle. Yeah, I did the Tinder. Like, I was pumped to break up so I could do the Tinder run, and then I became Bumble world champion, and then I started beating Hinge. I was beating the game of Hinge, and I'm just like, this is pointless. This doesn't make sense. So then I started reading books, and lighting candles, and living with crystals and alone.
I got crystals in my bag right now.
Yeah, maybe get a cat, Kyle. A cat.
No, I miss my dogs. That's the hardest part.
She
of this
took
breakup,
the dogs.
Losing the house.
She took the dogs
because we have the yard.
Why do they take the dogs? They don't love the dogs as much as you do.
Too
y'all
spicy.
Just moved, right?
In her defense, I did love the dogs more than her.
The dogs know.
Because the dogs are loyal.
Dogs are loyal.
Dogs are friendly. Yeah, of course you did. Because the dogs will be there for
you. She's got the house. I'm sleeping on a couch. So in the meantime, you know, the best life for the dogs are to be with her.
Are you sure?
Kyle?
Are you sure they're not paying for your sins?
No, no. I saw a picture. She sends me videos. They seem like they're loving
it. Wait a minute. Stop.
That's communication.
Aaron, get involved. Yeah. There's no comunicado.
Okay. Kyle.
You're going to end up in friend row. You're going to end up dog sitting for her and her new love when they go on to Cancun on the weekend.
I am with my ex-girlfriend in Connecticut right now from back in the day. So I'm really the one.
Oh, okay. So you're the piece of All right, okay, this. You're the guy.
No. She dumped me, and I moved on, or trying to at least.
You rebounded. Never go back, man. You never go back. You never go back.
Point of no return.
You got to strike
also,
first.
Don't say what you're doing on the air.
Yes.
She got mad the other night. She listened to a podcast I was on about me being out and doing some stuff.
Maybe not tell her this one. Upset. Maybe leave this one out. Maybe you don't repost this one.
No.
As a matter of fact, the entire Fox News switchboard is saying, do not release this one. They're not going to edit it because they're laughing about it too much. But if I was you, you were at the dentist today. That's the story I would go with.
Definitely had things near my mouth.
Yeah.
Mental aspect, too. Don't check Instagram stories. Don't like pictures. Don't block them. That gives them satisfaction.
Yes.
Mute them.
Yes.
Mute them so you see nothing. You can't react to anything. And then they're looking for you to look at them, but you're not looking at them. And they're like, what's he doing? And then, next thing you know, they're listening to your podcast. That's psycho behavior. She dumped you and she's listening to your podcast. That's nuts.
Yeah. You got to tell her that the K train has left town.
Oh my God. I start listening. If I call myself the K-Train, I don't think that's going to help my cause with anybody.
No, it might.
No.
With us. We'd enjoy it.
Hey, when have we been known to get bad advice?
Yeah, thank you.
Never.
Thank you.
Never.
Next week, we're talking about taxes.
You got to look at it like this, Kyle. You got to look at it like this, Kyle. It's not about I'm starting my life over at 40. You got to say I get to start my life over at 40.
Yep.
It's about
I think I'm restarting, to be honest with you. I'm just evolving as a human being, taking the knowledge and the experiences I had and applying those to new life situations. And I'm hoping some of those life situations are very attractive and enjoy the things I have to offer with my body.
Right. Yeah. I would get a hobby. Maybe get a fish tank.
Start breeding exotic fish of your own. An army. Just killer goldfish.
Started buying comic book action figures.
Yeah. Do something. Play golf. Play golf. Build an old car. But do not get in a relationship.
Tyrus FaceTimed me one time, and he's by this fish tank. And I'm like, oh, that's a nice fish tank. And I hear all this. And he turns around, and I swear to God, I thought he was like in a pet store. And it was his garage.
No, I have a house.
It's huge, guys.
I have my own zoo house,
Have a house.
Yeah.
You have a zootarium or something. Amazing.
Now you have your freedom.
because when I go in there, no one follows me except my kids. That's it. No one else goes in there because they never know what's crawling around in there. And I refuse to ever no one knows the exact list of what I have in that building. But, that's my fortress of solitude. That's where I go to chill out.
Yep.
And I find – and I'll leave you with this because we got to wrap. But if you get a hobby – look, you're on the wrong side of 40, Kyle, okay?
Even if you were like,
man, I'm just going to go out and have a bunch of sex every night. At your age, that's maybe a Wednesday and a Sunday. Okay. The rest of the days you got to recoup, right? It's not happening anymore.
What?
Okay. So
why not be on a Thursday?
Yeah. Well, whatever the day is, you only got 2 days a week that you're worth a damn. So, and that's fine. Now you're going to have friends tell you, hey, man, maybe get some testosterone replacement to get that wiggle back and get the monster back. Let that mother die, okay? Let it die. You don't need testosterone. You don't need the craving because you're going to think of brilliant things when you're not thinking about the sex thing,
Yep.
And trying to impress and peacock women and wear lifts in your shoes and get a loan for a car you can't possibly afford just to drive by people so you can take selfies on your little tender so you'll seem more attractive and they won't focus on the fact that you're only 5'6". They call that. Get a hobby, okay? Buy some Legos.
Life advice
get into yourself. Meet Kyle. Buy some candles. You know what I'm saying? Get to know you. And you know what you're going to find out?
Yes.
You know what you're going to find out?
Happy now.
You know what you're going to find out is Kyle's a good guy. Kyle's fun. He's dependable. He's got awesome hobbies.
Find you.
And you know what he doesn't need? He doesn't need criticism. He doesn't need feelings instead of facts. Your potential is endless. You're free, Kunta Kinte. Run. Do not look back. It's too late for some of us.
I am taking this advice.
Yes.
I am taking everything you've just built up.
Because some of us will never be free again. So you, go enjoy life. Enjoy life.
Never been married. I don't regret it.
You and Aaron can take a cruise around the world and not have to turn your cell phone on.
No.
With EC3 driving the ship, you guys are cooler than Star Trek. So live for the rest of us, because Kevin, Trevor, and Luke, we will never be free.
Never. Never.
That's the truth.
Wow.
Turn the message in a bottle.
Okay. Okay.
Turn that frown upside down.
You should be whistling. You should be that annoying mother. my life, because you know what? I can go anywhere at any time, and I don't have to ask anybody. You're
going to walk into her house this afternoon right after I'm done with this whistling, and she's going to look at me like, what the hell are you whistling?
And then you look back at her and you go, I'm a bird. I'm free, and I'm peacocking right now, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. Yeah.
All while you're doing the Captain Morgan stance.
Yeah.
One leg up.
Because you can do that. You are the naked old man in the gym with the towel over his shoulders, as free as you want to be, and he don't give a damn who's looking. Enjoy yourself, Kyle. And with that, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnews.com. That's right. We're on foxnewspodcast.com. This has been Tyrus. Luke, where can they find you?
Follow me at Luke Hawks 504. That's LukeHawx 504. Check me out on all social media platforms and see what I got going on, and probably a bunch of shirtless pictures of me working out.
12 abs, Luke. Trevor.
At the Real T Murdoch, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook with a little blue check mark. Make sure you guys catch us next week, February 13th, at Nuff Said, Tampa.
Yep. Aaron.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at the Aaron Files, and you can find me at the Castle when we are in Tampa on February 11th through the 13th. Kyle, you're welcome to join me.
Oh, I will.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, Aaron too can fly. He's free. Guy. Kyle, where can the fans find you, but except your current dating situation?
Twitter and Instagram, it's Kyle Davis, ATL. I don't live in Atlanta anymore. Don't pick Twitter handles based off of places you live in. You can follow us at the National Wrestling Alliance on YouTube. Also do a podcast with William Patrick Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, every week, iHeart. It's WPC33. Find it on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you got that. But yeah, just support things you like.
Get a hobby. Kevin.
I am my hobby.
Just Instagram at Kylie Jr. WWE. That's it.
All right, EC3, take us home.
At the Real EC3, THEREALEC3. See, as enough said. Thanks for the house, Tyrus. We're looking forward to it.
And now you can catch me at Fox News on the Gutfeld Show, NWA, and of course, Tyrus Live, which are just about sold out. I got the second night in Dallas. I think it's February 18th. I got tickets still available. You got to get them now because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be sold out the next week or two. But from all of us at Tyrus and the Wise Men, fellas, get a hobby. Enough said. Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.